Michelle, alcoholic. Grateful to be sober one more day and to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I'm glad to be here, to be with my family. You know, I feel like this is my family now. And I just have great love for so many people in this room. When Jessica asked me to speak last night, you know, my first reaction was, hell no. But usually my first reaction is wrong, so I thought about it for a couple seconds and I said I'd do it. You know, I'm being of service because I want to stay sober and because it's a part of my sobriety to tell my story and to share my experience, strength, and hope that others may recover from alcoholism. So I agreed to do it. And, it's no big deal. I go to a podium meeting all the time and you speak for 10 minutes, so it's not that big a deal. But anyway, what it was like, you know, I started using drugs and alcohol when I was 16. Drugs are a part of my story. I'm not going to focus on them, but I did quite a bit in my teenage years, and I drank quite a bit. And I drank and used because I didn't feel good inside. You know, I was hurt a lot by my family. You know, I love my family, and to this day, you know, one of the benefits of this program is I'm very close to my mother and father. But that wasn't the case when I was growing up. When I was growing up, I hated them, and they couldn't stand me because I was a wild child. When I was 16, I ran away to Arizona. When I was 18, I moved to New York and lived on the streets. I was into punk rock and following bands around, and, you know, my life was pretty crazy, and it all centered around, you know, getting wasted. And, what ended up happening, you know, God, I was an atheist during that time. I was raised Catholic, but I became an atheist around 16, right when my substance abuse issues surfaced. And I didn't believe in God for about 6-7 years. And to tell you the truth, those were the unhappiest years of my life when I didn't have where I felt like there wasn't a God in my life. And so when I was in New York, living on the streets, doing whatever to get my next fix, you know, I saw God's hand protecting me. I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back now, I could see how God protected me from a lot of situations. A good friend of mine died in a fire. She was a runaway from New Jersey. Her name was Carrie. And I felt partly responsible for her death, and so I was just devastated by that. So I came home and checked myself into a treatment center, and my parents helped me do all that. I started going to another fellowship because my main problem back then was drugs, and they told me to get a higher power the same way that AA teaches to get a higher power. And I'm like, get a higher power? What does that mean, to get a higher power? And they said, you know, something that's greater than you, something that's more powerful, something that, you know, restores you to sanity. And at that time, I was really into the beach, and I still am. And I was at the ocean one day, and I decided that the ocean would be my higher power because I couldn't stop the waves. I couldn't control the current. And that lasted for just a couple of days. And after a couple of days, my God showed himself and impressed upon me that something created that ocean. And so right away, I started having a relationship with God. And to this day, you know, I go to church now, but it took me a while. And I don't feel like everyone has to go to church, you know, to be close to God. God's right here in these rooms right now. And anyway, so I got really into religion, and I didn't drink or use for about 20 years. And then I had a tragedy happen to me when I was 38, and I wasn't into illegal drugs, I was more legal, so I went to alcohol, and alcohol became my best friend. I wasn't a party animal, I wasn't out on the streets, you know, in bars. I was at home, alone, very boring, drinking my 2 bottles of wine, red wine, and going to sleep, passing out. I don't know what I was doing, but I was sick, and I couldn't work at the time. And I was starting to drink in the mornings, and I got progressively worse, and I was hiding it. And I just, you know, I didn't go to jail and I didn't get a DUI, although I could have because I did drive while I was drunk. But my insides were torn up. You know, I felt suicidal. I felt powerless over my drinking. I would say I would stop and then I wouldn't stop. And I was tired of letting people down. So I came to AA because I knew that AA could help. I realized, oh, I'm an alcoholic now. I could go to AA. And I was kind of happy because I saw the people at AA had it more together than the people at the other fellowship. So I was kind of happy when I got to go to AA and I got to be with the, you know, respectable people. Anyway, it was, you know, I stayed sober for 3.5 years. And I worked a program, and then, like so many talk about, I stopped going to meetings. And my thinking eventually turned back into that thinking that I could drink like a normal person. And so I did. And I relapsed, and I came right back. It was an ugly relapse. I won't go into it, but it was ugly. And I came right back to the rooms, and I stayed sober another year and a half. And then, you know, I don't know, just the stress of life, but I went out again. And that next time I went out, the first relapse I went out for 1 day. The second relapse I went out for 9 months. And it was very hard to get sober again the second time that I relapsed. And that's why for me today, you know, I'm very close to these rooms. You know, I go to a meeting every day. I have an awesome sponsor who I've worked the steps with and continue to work the steps with her on a sometimes daily, sometimes weekly basis. And, you know, life is good again. You know, when I love sobriety, you know, I love getting wasted too. I mean, I'll be honest, you know, it was a lot of fun, but at the end it wasn't. And I don't want to go back to that end because this time my end ended up in a psych ward on suicide watch and, very hopeless. And, you know, the thing is, you don't know when you pick up that first drink after going out, you know, some people come here for the first time and they stay sober and they never relapse, and you know, God bless them. But a lot of other people do relapse, and I tell you, when you pick up that drink, you don't know if you're going to make it back to these rooms. You know I have another relapse in me, but I don't know if I have another recovery. This last time around has been the hardest time for me. You know, I've had more of an obsession with drugs and alcohol, and I've had, you know, it's been much harder. And I've really had to work a really close program, staying close to these rooms and, you know, just giving my all to AA. I'm of service. You know, I try to be of service. I try to help the newcomer. I try to bring the message when I can, you know, of hope, because there is hope in these rooms. And it's funny, last night I was reading my big book when I got the text from Jessica, and I don't always read my big book, but I just happened to be, and I was on this one chapter, and it said, you know, the three things that are the most, are very important, not the most, I believe the higher power is the most crucial part of this program, is getting a higher power and turning my will over to him. But it talked about the how of the program and what it takes to stay sober. And the how of the program is, H is, honesty. You know, you've got to be honest. You've got to be honest with someone. Open-mindedness. You've got to have an open mind to, you know, if you don't believe in God, to whatever it may be. Use the group of drunks. You know, some people use a group of drunks their whole sobriety and they stay sober, because this room full of people can help you stay sober. And it is a power greater than yourself too, if you're not quite ready for God to call, you know, your higher power God. So honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, you know, willingness to do what it takes. You know, I was with a newcomer yesterday who's trying to stay sober, and, you know, got her to talk to someone else in the program. I'm not a real hardcore sponsor or, you know, I'm very gentle. And anyway, I felt like this person needed someone harder to, you know, tell her like it was. And he started telling her like it was, and she walked away, you know, and she walked away from sobriety. And I have no control over that person or any person who, you know, has a tendency to relapse. And, you know I owe my sobriety to my higher power, but I know I owe it to all of you too, you know, all the people in this room. You know, I have some good friends today, friends that are lifelong friends. And you know, it's just been a wonderful experience being back. I have, after my last relapse, I have 7 months now. So that's really cool. it is worth applauding for, because I've had to fight this time, you know, and who knows, maybe next time I won't be up here saying I have 7 months, you know. So for me, to drink again is to die, and it says that in the big book, you know, to drink again is to die. And I don't want to die. I don't want to die drinking. You know, I want to be there for my family. My family is so important to me. I get to spend time with my mom and dad, who are very old and frailing, and I get to be with them several times a week. And if I was using and drinking, I wouldn't be there for them. I'd be thinking about where I was going to, you know, get my next fix. And today, thanks to the steps, thanks to my sponsor, thanks to my higher power, I don't have to be a slave to substances that are, you know, easy to abuse, like alcohol. And I'm just so grateful. So that's it. Thank you.